Well, let's go to Nahum chapter 1 and verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Now shall we pray? Father, I pray that your word would go forth unhindered and triumphant. I'm only a messenger. It's the Holy Ghost that must take the word to every heart, and I pray that you would do exactly that. If there's one in our midst today that does not know that if they died that heaven's their home, I pray that they would come to know Christ as Savior. If there's someone that has wandered from you, I pray that they would come home today. But especially, Lord, I pray to glorify your name, edify the saints in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord never wastes words. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18, Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle will in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Heaven and earth has not passed, my friends, so we know that the Word of God is still completely preserved for us. And we have it word for word for us in English. It's through the King James because they use the right text to do that. But going on from that, we need to say that some of the words that we read in the Bible are very encouraging. And what a great help they are in time of trouble. But there are other times it makes us stop and has some very serious thoughts about what God is saying. Well, you have to understand, the Bible tells us it's true. Not one word will fall to the ground. Every word will be established. It's very important to understand the meanings of God's words in our text today. And that's why we've titled this, The Serious Words of God. And so as we look at just this one verse, I want to point out some very serious words of God. First, I want you to see his omnipotence in these words of verse 3. He is all powerful, and his words are all powerful. We're told, again, reading the verse, the Lord is slow to anger. The word slow has the idea of long in conjunction with the previous verse concerning taking vengeance and exercising his wrath there in verse 2. It is not what he wants to do to men. He doesn't want to pour out his wrath on mankind or any man. That's not his desire. His desire is that they would all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But since we're made in his image, we also have a free will because we're made after his spirit. And that free will then opens up the door for us to either accept or reject the salvation that he offers. But never mistake the foolish idea that if his judgment is not immediate, that God has then smiled at your sin and just overlooked it. He has. He will judge your sin if it's not under his blood. It will either come under the blood of Jesus Christ because you repented and believed the gospel, or you will suffer it when his eternal wrath is poured out on you in the lake of fire. You must come to him through the blood of Jesus Christ, repentant and believing and trusting in him. By the way, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, we read there, but if we walk in the light, remember God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he, that is, as Jesus Christ is in the light, we have fellowship. The word fellowship has the idea of a partnership. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You say, what do you mean, faithful and just, if we confess? Remember, when he died on the cross, 1 John 2, verse 2, he is the propitiation, that is the entire payment for all our sin. He is the propitiation for our sin, but not for our sin only, but for the sins of the whole world. And so, when he died on the cross and shed his blood for our sin, he was buried, and 3 days later, he arose bodily from the grave. He ascends up into heaven, and that blood is placed at the mercy seat in heaven for us. He died in our place. So when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even as Christians, we sin daily. That's why that blood is still there. That's why it is still there. But understand also, in saying that, unconfessed sin is unforgiven sin. If you're saved and you have sin in your life, you're unwilling to forsake it, just understand, one day that'll be brought up at the judgment seat of Christ. Not for the payment, the payment is paid, but for the loss of reward. The Bible says some will have shame at his appearing. Others will have confidence, hearing a well done, good and faithful servant. And the Christian must ask himself, what will it be with me? Now, a lot of times we were in Israel and people talk about, oh, the ark and the tabernacle and all that there. But understand this. The ark that we read about in the Old Testament was a pattern of the one in heaven. You see, Moses was told to make it after the pattern I showed you. Do you think earthly gold, even though purified by God, will match the gold of heaven when sinful men have been around it? You see, that is pure, and the place is pure, and the offering must be a pure offering. But again, having cleansed us, having saved us, we go back to him. Remember Peter? There at the Last Supper? And he's talking to him, and he says, I'm going to wash your feet. And Peter says, not my feet, Lord. You'll never wash my feet. And the Lord says, well, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. And he said, oh, not my feet only, but my whole self. And the Lord said, no, he that is cleansed, but we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, need not but to wash his feet, to cleanse from the walking in this world. And we have the dirt of this world. That's why we daily need to confess our sins unto him. But again, don't miss out in saying all of this, that our Lord is slow to anger. But in saying that he is slow to anger does not mean that he overlooks sin. He doesn't. He doesn't. All sin is either punished in him, or you suffer forever in hell. Don't forget in 2 Peter 3:9, it says this, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Not any, but that all should come to repentance. Don't come to repentance, you perish. That is, you go to hell. But the day will come, as 2 Peter 3:10 says, will come as a thief in the night. It's slow, but it's sure. Slow because he hopes for our repentance. Why? Because he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He has no pleasure in casting us into hell. So now we're told that he is slow to anger in our text. The word anger is also serious for us to understand. You see, he is almighty. Jesus says of himself in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Saith the Lord, and who is the Lord? Which is For remember, without him was not anything made that was made, which is, which was, came to this earth, died for us, was buried and rose from the dead, and which is to come. He's coming again. There's no doubt of who he's talking about when he says the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Okay, so he's the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. God is sovereign. Now, you'll hear a lot of people talk about the sovereignty of God. Boy, they come up with all kinds of things. Can I give you just in a nutshell what the sovereignty of God is? If you remember this, it's true, it's right, and you don't have to go into $25 words to say it. Okay? Sovereignty is God's right to do what he wants with that which is his. All things are his. He's a creator. God has a right to do what he wants to do with this creation. He is sovereign. Think of that. Think of what Almighty God's wrath can do. Yes, he spoke the worlds into an existence, but he also destroyed the earth with a flood of water. He raised the dead. He calmed the sea. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He's Almighty God. But think of what his wrath and anger can do. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." His compassions fail not. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, I referred to it a little bit earlier, but we read, "Say unto them, as I liveth, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die?" He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now think about this. If God willed or predestinated some people to go to hell, then he would have pleasure in their death. He would have pleasure in the death of the wicked if he predestinated them to go there. But if he predestinated them to go there, then he would have pleasure, but he doesn't have pleasure in the death of the wicked. His will is they go to heaven, that they repent of their sins and believe the gospel. So even here in the Old Testament, we're seeing whosoever will may come. God is righteous. This Hebrew word, anger, for anger, refers to the breathing part of the body. Emotions get expressed a lot of times when you're angry and, you know, and you're just ready to let it rip, you know, and just let them have it. And so here you are, you're angry and the breathing gets heavier as you're ready to start that fight. This word is therefore expressing the emotional aspects of God's anger and wrath. In verse 2, we saw the same idea with the word there, furious. But there, the word furious is carrying out the action. Carrying out his vengeance. Here we see the emotion that it causes God when we have unconfessed sin and we refused to come to him and make it right. This Hebrew word was understood by all those people that day. And because it was, it should make them look inward. If I said that there was a deadly disease in this auditorium that makes sure you don't touch the person, but you don't know who the person is, you're going to get out of here. Okay, you're going to get out of here. That's the idea of the word there. Get right with God. Get right with God. God is slow to get this way. Yet he is perfectly just and holy in doing so. He controls his wrath. His temper doesn't control him. He controls his temper. But he carries it out. And may I say, as he has warned many times, he warned you ahead of time. But you neglect it, you go past it, and there is that deadline when God says no more. Notice our text. He will not at all acquit the wicked. Not at all. The word acquit means to be clean, to be pure, to be guiltless, free from punishment. Now, of myself, I'm not that. Of myself, I'm not that. But in Christ Jesus, I am. Okay? Apart from Jesus, I'm not. In Him, I am. And so, too, are you. In Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of His glory, of His grace, wherewith He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted in Him. When I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it's not going to be, boy, you did a great job. No, I don't think it's going to be that at all. He's going to see the blood. The old story, and I read it many times, and I remember even as a little guy, my dad using the same story when he was preaching. But the people at the in a hotel across the street from the palace there in London, and the lady saying to her husband, I thought the guards always wore red uniforms. They're out there in all white uniforms. And he's laying down in the bed and probably just like me saying, yeah, right. And she says, no, they really are. Finally convinces him, and he gets up and goes to the closest window, looks out there, they're in red uniforms. He's just shaking his head, ready to go back. And he said, yeah, right. You know, and then she said, wait a minute. No, they're in... Now, he thinks something's wrong with her. She says, come over here and look. And he goes and looks, and sure enough, their uniforms are white. So now he runs back over here. They're red. Back over here, they're white. But you see, there was a clear plastic red film covering that window. And when you look at red through red, it becomes white. My sin is as scarlet. People say, oh, my heart was black with sin. No, the Bible doesn't say that. It says scarlet. Red like crimson. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, it's made as white as the new driven snow. Oh, what a blessing that is. What a great thing that is that God does for His own. In Philippians 3:9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. It's not my righteousness is going to get me in. But that which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. By His blood He cleanses me of all my sin, and He makes me pure and guiltless and free. Freed from the punishment. Freed from the power of sin. The word acquit also carries the idea of paroled or absolved. However, once God's judgment falls on a person, there is no acquittal. If you die without Jesus Christ, you cannot be acquitted from hell. If you don't turn to Him in this life as your Lord and Savior, it'll be too late. 1 second into eternity. It'll be too late. 1 second, the rapture has taken place. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4 says, the Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, the wicked for the day of evil. Look, if you reject Christ, you will be deemed evil, wicked. And then you are then preserved a body for your forever abode in the lake of fire, a body that will never cease to exist. A body that will feel pain as this body is able to feel pain. A body that will desire food and water as this body will desire and yet not be able to be satisfied. Oh, you'll have the pain of all of that, but in addition to that, you'll have the great pain that is a mental pain. The pain of hopelessness. I ask, are you sure if you died today that heaven's your home? Say, Pastor, I don't have to answer that to you, and you're right, you don't, but one day you'll stand before God. God's words are serious. He is very serious about this, even if you're not. But understand, He's Almighty. He is the eternal judge. Revelation chapter 4 verse 11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. And for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Look, you are justly reserved for the day of judgment if you reject Christ and you die without Him, because you were created for His pleasure. But when you exercise that free will to reject His will, to reject His salvation, to reject to walk in His love, when you reject Him, then you're also rejecting your creation for His pleasure. Even after He has paid the price for all our sin. The very price that would have redeemed and acquitted you from eternal judgment. Remember, Matthew 24:51 tells us that hell, 25:41 tells us that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Wasn't prepared for man. Man will go there because he rejects Christ. And therefore, you have chosen just by rejecting, by not receiving Him, you reject Him. And then your abode is with the devils throughout all eternity. You can choose to believe the complicated theories of men. Or you can believe God's simple words of truth to us. He said He would have all men to be saved in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what God said. Men say, oh no, there's only a select few that God's going to send there. Look, take God at His word. You know, God still hasn't died and never will. Men that have been saying that for 300 years have died, passed away. Another group comes up, say the same thing. They've died and passed away. But our God continues. His word is sure. Trust Him. He will receive you if you turn to Him. In 2 Peter 3:9, we mentioned that earlier, not slack concerning His promise, but wants all of us that we might turn to Him, because He's not willing that we should perish, but come to repentance, because you were made in His image. He loves you. He loves you. He wants you to be saved. Oh, my friend, I hope that you'll turn to Him. God will judge fallen angels. Fallen angels cannot be saved. You say, why is that? Well, they've seen God. See, the gospel is for us. But men are turned into hell because they reject Jesus Christ. They don't receive Him. But when God casts a man into hell, He will do it with a broken heart. A broken heart. Oh, my friend, are you sure that if you died today that heaven's your home? Be sure, be sure, be sure. Don't put it off. Don't miss out on the free acquittal you can have as a result of Jesus Christ having paid your penalty in full and raising bodily from the dead. Don't pass that up. You see, Our text says, God hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. So often God must use these things on people in order to bring them to repentance. In Jonah's day, he placed fear in Nineveh's heart to see that judgment was going to come if they didn't repent. They believed it, and God spared it. And it went on for another 150 years. It's Nahum that foretells the destruction of Nineveh 150 years later. Noah's day, the Bible says that he was moved with fear, and he built an ark. And building an ark in a time when it's never rained before takes faith. And when people are making fun of you and making fun of your family, it takes faith. But you just keep on keeping on doing God's will, God's way, in God's time. And guess what? He does it. He does it. And because he had faith, he was saved from what was coming. Nobody else would believe it was coming. But so many people refuse salvation because they have a hard time believing that there's an actual wrath of God that's going to be poured out. But my friend, I can tell you, by the authority of God's word, it will be poured out. When people do not repent, God will judge. Many times, for example, with nations, he's brought armies. And still other times, he's brought winds and waves, tornadoes and hurricanes, because they all obey his will. And with many of the things that I've said today, there are people that will say, he's just fear baiting you. That's all he's doing is fear baiting, superstition. To say that a good God would judge that way. What's worse is today we have a lack of Jonahs who will preach what God's saying anyway. We have a lack of Noahs who will tell it as God said it was going to happen. And there are Nahums. They will not raise their voice. And as a result, people don't run in fear at the warning of judgment. Instead, today we have preachers that are running in fear when the volley of words come back at them. Fear monger, what's wrong with you? And their pride is hurt. And pride leads to destruction. The dust of his feet makes us think of dryness. He does not need to bring floods and storms and armies. He can bring famine and drought as he did in Joel's day. My friend, these are very serious words. They're coming straight from the lips of God, and he means it. Listen again to those words that we have defined. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. He will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. My friend, he is omnipotent. There's no power, there's no wisdom against the Lord. He is slow, that is, he is long-suffering because he loves you. But again, don't forget the words of 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Perhaps you ought to think about this, Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You're thinking, hey, before I die, I'll get right with God. You realize how many people have been taken out of this life suddenly? You may not be serious, but God is. Are you prepared to meet God in a moment? Are you serious about the salvation of your soul? Are you serious about where you will spend eternity. Jesus said, except you repent, in Luke 13:3, you shall all likewise perish. That means you'll go to hell. Two verses later, verse 5, same words, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we're told, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yes, he is the way. But if you reject that way, remember these words from Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, the place where you'll never cease to exist and never escape. Your name can be in the book of life today. For in Romans 5:20, he says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You say, preacher, I've been too much of a sinner. How could God save me? Because his grace is greater than all your sin. He'll save you. He loves you. But you must come to him. Oh, I hope you'll come today. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, I pray. I didn't see all the hands go up to say they were saved, but I saw that there were no hands that go up to say, please pray for my salvation. And Lord, I don't know if it's just not understanding that we want to pray for their soul to be saved, or if they're just hard. I don't know what it is, but Lord, break it down that the devil would no longer have them in his grip. I pray for Christians, Lord, may we examine our own hearts and lives, that we may have all things right with our God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.